open up the Word of God. Jesus said this, you know, F.F. Bosworth said, his words are the seed of life. Jesus said this, the words that I speak to you, John 6:63, write this down. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. So let's say this. Ready? This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's power of This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. You know, apart from the word of God, God accomplishes everything through his word. Amen. That's why he gave us this. He has so much he wants to accomplish in you. Amen. He's not done with you yet. Amen. So in this life, we're talking this week about faith for abundant finances. But our series title is Faith That Overcomes. Faith that overcomes a gravelly voice. Faith that overcomes. In life, you are either an overcomer or you are overcome. Oh. If you can't say amen, say, oh me. Because it's true. What we do with the Word of God will determine whether we overcome or whether we are overcome. Did you know that the Bible teaches us that God doesn't choose who wins and who loses, who overcomes and who doesn't, who fails and who succeeds? God doesn't, none of that. That's what the Bible teaches, because God is not a favorite. He doesn't have favorites. It says five times in the New Testament that he is not a respecter of persons. It's not him who decides whether you sick or healed. It's not him. You decide that by your faith. It's not even him who decides when you die. The Apostle Paul said, look, I have permission. I can go and be with the Lord, which I'd really like, but it's more necessary for me to be here with you. So I'm staying. That was very nice of him, because he finished up the New Testament for us. Oh, hallelujah. He's not, whether they're obstacles, demon plots, whatever, people. How about people? You got Sister Sandpaper and Brother Bucketmouth come your way with all kinds of plans. You know, I've had people recently, you know, they text me, say, we feel led that you ought to do this. I don't have time to do what I want to do. Why would I do what you want me to do? I have to do what he leads me to do. Amen. You got to be led. If you feel led that I should do that, then go talk to the Lord about that and see what that's about. Because I think he's telling you to do something. But whatever the obstacle, there is one and one only truth about whether you overcome. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, what? Faith. Even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, if God chooses that. Does it say that? This is the victory that overcomes the world, if you feel good about it. No, it has nothing to do with the way you feel, your past, whether you're born on the wrong side of the tracks or the right side of the tracks. None of that matters. What matters is if you overcome every situation in life, it's by faith. Faith in God and what he has promised, what he has already stated. Did you know healing, physical healing, is not even a promise in the Bible? It's a fact of redemption. It doesn't say that he promises to heal us. He says, by whose stripes you were healed. He took care of that, and he wants you to know it. There's provisions. Why? Because your body has not been redeemed yet. Your soul, your mind and will, and that hasn't been redeemed yet. Your spirit has, because you're a new creation on the inside. That old man, you know, Kenneth Copeland one time, when he was young, and he started studying the Bible, and he threw the Bible. He says, "Lord, I've caught the Apostle Paul in a lie." He said, "I have wronged no man." He murdered those people. You know, the Spirit of God really got strict. He says, "You watch who you're calling a liar. The man you're talking about died on the road to Damascus." Don't jerk the slack out of him. But on the other hand, he saw that down inside, he was no longer that old person. He was a new creation in Christ. And the Apostle Paul wrote about that, wrote about himself. We tend to associate things with the past way too much. We talked about this in Bible study one night. The demoniac of Gadara, who had the legion of demons, remember that? And Jesus cast him out, they went into the pigs, pigs went into the water. For 2,000 years, we've been calling him the demoniac of Gadara, and he's been delivered for 2,000 years. You need to let yourself off the hook. That past doesn't belong to you anymore. That old man died when you were born again. Died. Gone. Bluey, like Barney Fife would say. Bluey. Nip it, nip it, nip it. Well, some of you young people are looking at me like, who? See, you missed growing up when we grew up. It was a great time. But now we're in even greater times to be alive and to be a Christian. Man, because we're going to see, we have to now draw from inner strength that we never had to draw from before. And when we feel threatened, don't shrink back, go forward. Go forward. The truth will come. The truth will come. You just go forward and the Holy Spirit will show you what to say. He'll change what you think at the time too. And he'll take all those worrywart thoughts and peace. And you'll be so confident in God. And people say, "What does he have?" And you'll start a revival at work, in the grocery store, wherever you are. You are a revival waiting to go somewhere and happen. Amen. Amen. So 1 John 5:4 tells us the truth about overcoming or being overcome. Tells us the truth about who wins and who loses. It's your faith. Get your faith working. Get your faith. And if your faith isn't working, ask God why. It says if we're otherwise minded, he'll reveal that to us. Amen? He'll reveal it to you. He'll show you. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. He's not your condemner. If you're wrong about something, he'll show you where you're wrong and get you into the right path, the right line of thinking, the right line of believing. He'll show you how to do it. The point I want to drive home today is that there's one thing and one thing only that determines our outcome in life, whether we overcome or whether we're overcome, and that's our faith. Faith is a beautiful, powerful, precious, like precious faith, Peter said. It's precious, and it's more precious than fine gold that's tried in the fire. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want me to just sugarcoat this and say it doesn't matter? You know, you can have all those unbelief. You know, you can have all of that. You know, it doesn't. I mean, after all, we are under grace. If you believe that, you are heading for a shipwreck of massive proportions. It's really massive proportions. And I'll tell you, turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Here's what it says. Therefore, being justified by what?
Faith.
We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by what?
Faith.
By faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, the whole New Testament was built on grace and truth. The law came by Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
But how do you get to the grace? It's by faith we have access into this grace wherein we stand. Without faith, look, you know what sodium chloride is? It's salt. Sodium is a toxic element. And if you eat sodium, it will kill you. If you eat chloride, it will kill you. But you put them both together and you got sodium chloride, and you have to have that, otherwise you die. Faith and grace, is there's a balance to it. And you enter into His grace by faith. Without faith, there is no grace. And without grace, faith is useless. Because grace, faith appropriates what God has provided by grace. It's not just, grace is not an excuse to sin. Grace empowers you to walk in righteousness.
Amen.
The church needs a lot of correction in this area, because there's a lot of false doctrines going on about grace. Grace is power. It's God's ability in us. Grace is God's riches. Riches of what? Strength, blessing, powers, gifts. Amen. Of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? Without faith, we cannot enter into His grace. And faith is agreeing with God, acting on His word, and doing it. That's what faith is. When you act on His word, that's faith.
Amen.
Faith doesn't say, oh, that's nice, now I know that. Faith and knowledge are two different things, folks. You got to understand that.
Yeah.
Here's the good news, though. If you don't have any faith, you can come and get some. And if you can't get it here, if you're reading, and it seems like you're reading, you know, the dictionary, come to church. And by hearing, Romans 10:17, write that down. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If what you're hearing doesn't give you faith, it's not the word of God. That's why every one of you, I know that faith is coming to you right now. Everyone, your faith. Let's... go back, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. There is no reason for any Christian to be overcome by the world. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Are you in Christ? Okay. You're not in Adam? Anybody in Adam here? Okay, we're all in Christ now, right? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God, people, circumstances, failures, defeats... do not determine your outcome. Your faith determines your outcome. You're not finished when you're defeated. You're finished when you quit. And if you haven't quit, you're not finished. It's up to you. This is Van Crouch. I'm quoting Van Crouch. My friend, my buddy. Just spoke to him a few last week. He said that. He said, you're not finished when you're defeated. You're finished when you quit. Have you quit? God hasn't quit on you. He'll never quit on you. You could go out and be a rank sinner. Of course, you don't want to do that, because you're allowing inroads into your life from the devil, and sin has a harvest to it that you don't want. But no matter where you turn, it says in Psalm 139, if I make my bed in hell, He's there.
Amen.
He will stick close to you. He has a covenant that is stronger than anything you could possibly imagine. And He will never break it. He says, I will not alter the thing that's gone out of my lips, and I will not break my covenant.
Amen.
He's tied to it. He wrapped Himself around that and tied it to it, and He put that blood on the mercy seat right in front of Him, and that blood is speaking better things than that of Abel. Instead of vengeance, it's speaking mercy. It's speaking grace. It's speaking love. It's speaking acceptance to you. God loves you. God's heart is for you, and He wants to get what He believes about you in you, so that you can say, yes, I can do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Take that magnet off of your refrigerator, put it in your heart. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And magnetize heaven into your heart. And start saying it and 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 saying it. And say it some more. And when you get tired of saying that, say it some more. Say it some more. I'm going to get into something in a minute. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. This is our foundational scripture for this series. And it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. If what you believe doesn't move your mouth isn't going to move any mountains. If what you believe doesn't pop open your mouth, it's not going to pop up any trees from the roots. They'll grow in your heart as long as you let them. Those mountains will stand there as obstacles as long as you let them. But when you get down in your heart, the word of faith, Paul said, the word of faith which we preach, that if you believe in your heart, that if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Period. It's that simple. There's no other prerequisite for salvation. Guess what? There's no other prerequisite for moving a mountain or plucking up a tree by the roots. A tree that's been growing in your heart for years. Years. As long as you can remember. Depression. Sorrow. Oppression. Inability. Poor self-image. What is it? Lust. Worry, greed, fear. What's the tree that's growing in there? Did you know that you have the power in your mouth and in your heart to remove that thing?
Amen.
This applies to all facets of your life. And we're talking this morning about faith for abundant finances. I'm going to tell you a story about a farmer. I heard this farmer share this years ago, and I read his book about it too. He invested quite a large sum of money in a joint business venture. He put some fleeces out, and all the fleeces turned out just the way he asked. And he ended up getting fleeced. See, in the New Testament, we haven't any business putting fleeces out. See, when you do that, you're getting out under the God of this world, and he knows those fleeces are there, and he can bring deception your way. Gideon wasn't born again. Gideon didn't have the Holy Spirit. Gideon, in the book of Judges chapter 6, put out a fleece and God honored it because he didn't have any other direction to go. But in the New Testament, you put out a fleece, you're going to get fleeced. So what happened to him, this farmer, he ended up getting royally fleeced. Years later, he found out a better way to find out the will of God. John 16:13, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth shall come, he shall guide you into all truth. And whatever he speaks because he heard it from the Father. We have that, John? John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. When he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. That's your source of direction and guidance, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will never lie to you. He cannot lie. He's God.
Amen.
So he put out the fleeces. The fleece came all agreed, and he sold this small farm and invested the money in the business. He lost nearly all the original amount, plus $25,000 on top of that he lost in this. So through the confusion of the enemy, he lost his faith, turned negative on life, and he thought God was done with him. And he thought he was done with God. But that was Satan putting into his mind the fact that somehow he had failed God. You know, he never tells you why. He says, you failed God, and God's mad at you. But the devil never tells you why that is. It's nebulous. It's kind of without form, because if he ever was exact, you could prove him a liar by the word of God. So anyhow, he said, the enemy tried to convince me that I had failed God, and God was mad at him, and that was the reason he had lost the money. Then he said, if that sounds familiar, this is one of the devil's favorite lies. To tell you that you failed God, and he locks you up in condemnation and guilt and paralyzes your faith. That's what happened to him. He said, in that confused state, he turned negative. He began to say, it doesn't matter what I do, it won't work out anyway. I'm going to start telling you things that have nothing to do with abundance of finances, nothing to do with wealth, nothing to do with prosperity, because you know what? Prosperity has nothing to do with money. Absolutely nothing. He was still farming about 800 acres of land at the time, so he turned his attention to his farming operation, and he said he knew it was the one thing he could do well because he'd always been successful at it, but see, he had already turned negative, and he turned that negativity into the new into his farming. And what happened, he started saying, well, it doesn't make any difference how deep I plant it. Rains will come and wash it out anyhow, and it won't grow. You know what happened? That's exactly what happened. The rain came, 3 inches of rain, and it washed the seed out, didn't grow. He planted again. This time he planted shallow, about a half inch deep, and told almost everyone he saw, now watch, it'll turn off and the rain won't come and the drought will come and the seed will die in the ground. And that's exactly what happened. Does this sound familiar to you? He said a third time he planted that year, he made more negative statements. The more problems showed up, the more negative he became. And by the way, that's Satan's cycle. The more you confess negativity, the more negativity you'll experience. The more negativity you experience, the more negativity you'll say. And it's this cycle that is endless. And God needs you to break it. You're the only one who can do that, by the way. So the third time, he planted, produced 2/3 of a stand of cotton, which is not a whole lot. He said he worked that land for 2 years and didn't have enough to buy a driver's license with it, with the profits. He still had some savings. He was living on that, but he had to borrow $100,000 just to pay off some back debts. He said, somehow I still believed in God. I still went to church. I gave because I believed in Luke 6:38 that says, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. But he said, I would go to church and I couldn't get anything out of the service because I was too worried about my finances. I couldn't do anything. It wasn't penetrating. One day, this Baptist guy came over to the house with a bunch of books. The farmer thumbed through one of the books. And he found a few paragraphs there that started making sense to him. And he looked over at the cover and it says, Right and Wrong Thinking by Kenneth Hagin. He said it was a different book from anything I'd ever read. Every paragraph said something, and it was straight to the point. He said, I remember to this day one of the statements I read, people that think wrong believe wrong, and when they believe wrong, they act wrong. He said, that went off on me like a nuclear bomb. You know, the entrance of his word does give light. And it lit him up. He got lit. So he started studying. He ordered those books and started studying, getting into the Word of God to see where he was missing it. Then one day, and he started praying again. But this now he's praying from a transformed life. A renewed mind. You know, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is important. Your mind is not the devil's playground. Your mind is yours. You get to choose what your thoughts are. So he's praying. And the Lord asked him one day, he says, what are you doing? Lord, I'm praying. He says, no, you're not. You're complaining. He said, I'd appreciate it if you would stop telling me what the devil said to you. Start to re-examine your prayers, folks. Then the Lord continued. He said, you've been praying for me to prosper you and to get the devil off of you. I'm not the one causing your problems. You are under attack of the evil one, and I can't do anything about it. This will wreck a lot of your theology, folks. If you came in mainstream Christianity where you said everything that happens is God's will, are you kidding me? You've justified, with that kind of theology, you've justified every rape, every murder, every injustice, every theft, all cheating, lying, and all deception, all justified because whatever happens is God's will. That is not true. That's not what Jesus taught either. They said, who did this? He said, an enemy has done this. You got to understand, there is a God of this world, and we have an enemy. And God's will is not freely done in this world like it is in heaven. That's why he said, pray on earth, that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Because God, yes, he's sovereign, but we've added so much meaning to that word that's not biblical. We are not puppets on a string. We are free moral agents, and we get to choose stuff. We are the only ones in this universe that we know about who have the ability and the license from God to choose our own words. You've got to understand how much authority you really do have. And when you realize how much you have, the devil is going to run. Because he'll know that you know that he's defeated, weak, defeated and wounded. And his crown no longer exists. He had the keys of death and hell. Jesus said, excuse me? Those are mine. Is this making sense to you? All right? Is this revealing to you some, the new creation that's in you that has been empowered by God, authorized by God to speak his word and expect it to come to pass? He said, I can't do anything about it. You have bound me by your own words, the words of your own mouth, and it's not going to get any better until you start changing what you're saying and begin to agree with my word. You are operating in fear and unbelief. You have established the words of the evil one in your behalf. You, by your own mouth, you have released the ability of the enemy. If I were to do anything about it, I would violate my word, and I won't do that. He can't do that. Then, when he realized what he was doing, he was casting out God's word and he was speaking the words of the devil right into his life, the negativity. And those words were holding. You know, it says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2, you are taken with the words of your own mouth. You are snared by the words of your own mouth. And many of us here have spoken the words of the enemy in our life, and those words are holding us in bondage, holding God's limitation limited in our life and giving supremacy to Satan in our life because of our words, because we have agreed with him. The power of agreement is powerful. You need to understand and consider who you are coming into agreement with. Well, I've never heard this before. Well, there's probably a lot of things you haven't heard before. But you know what? God will teach you. God will teach you. He'll move you along. He'll lift you up as you're able to understand, and he'll keep moving with you. But here's the problem. Stop speaking doubt and unbelief and start speaking faith in God. If you get anything out of this, get that, because God's on your side. He said this, furthermore, he said, I am for you. I want to prosper you, but I want to do it in a way that will work eternal value in you by using your faith and acting on the word. The power of binding and loosing is not in heaven. It's upon the earth. And if you don't do it, it won't be done. Then the Lord gave him some instructions. Write this down. He said, study and search my word for the promises that pertain to you as a believer. Study and search the word for the promises that belong to you as a believer. Number two, make a list of them. Number three, speak them out loud every day. Find promises, make a list, speak it out every day. Search the word, seek and you shall find. Those words began to change his life, and millions of people have read his books. His name is Charles Capps, who overcame unbelievably negative odds, negative things that came against him in his life, the attacks of the enemy. A farmer from England, Arkansas, going to a church that didn't preach anything, really, except you got to be good. And God reached down to him and gave him a truth about his words. And it changed his life. And he had an international ministry with his own plane, everything, and reached millions and millions of people. In fact, his book, The Tongue, A Creative Force, was the all-time bestseller of Harrison House Publishing, which published all of the Word of Faith books. It was a national publisher, Bibles and so forth. Harrison House Publishing, that was their all-time bestseller, was Charles Capps, this little farmer, who was speaking negatively over his seed, and God got a hold of him, and he started applying it to all parts of his life, and whoosh, right back in the plus lane, right back in the assets versus liabilities. He was no longer a liability to himself or the kingdom of God. He started supplying it with a full supply of power. Let me tell you some, here are some attributes of a prosperous soul. We look at Joseph. Did you know that Joseph? This is why prosperity has nothing to do with money. Joseph was a prosperous man when he was in the dungeon. Joseph was a prosperous man when he was sold a slave to Potiphar. He owned nothing. He had nothing. And Potiphar said, he's a prosperous soul. God, the word of God declares over Joseph in his poverty, in his slavery, in the dungeon, falsely accused. I mean, man, if this guy had the excuse of saying, getting mad at God and pushing the whole thing away and just say, you know, God's forgotten me. He didn't do it. And everybody said, Joseph is prosperous. He is a prosperous man, even when he had nothing. A lot of things you can learn about Joseph, but one thing is, if you're not content with who you are when you have nothing, you're not going to be content with who you are when you have everything. Because you are who God is dealing with. And prosperity is a force of the soul. David, Joseph was humble. He had humility. Humility is one of the most powerful things and one of the most treasured things that God looks upon. He looks for humility. James 4:6, he says he gives more grace. Therefore, he says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. There is nothing wrong with being exalted, but God has a big problem for you exalting yourself. If you humble yourself under his might, he will exalt you in due time. When is due time? Well, it's usually a long time after your flesh is ready for it. But maybe there are pride issues, some issues in your life that you've got to be worked out first before he can exalt you. Otherwise, you're like a preemie baby, and a lot of those don't make it. 13 years Joseph was in slavery. 13 years before God exalted him to the most powerful man in Egypt. Humility exalts you. Honest, he was honest. This is walking in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship and so forth. And this is what they noticed, the rapport he had with the other prisoners, the keeper of the prison, and he called him a prosperous man. Diligence. You can't say too much about diligence. Go and just highlight the word diligence one time in your Bible app and do a study through Proverbs on diligence. The diligent hand will rule, it says in Proverbs 12:24. But diligence involves commitment, follow through, diligence. Don't look for the easy way out. Just do what needs to be done. Contentment. Joseph was content. Consistency through the ups. Paul said this, whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. None of these have anything to do with money. But this is what God can bless. This is the attributes. Confidence. You know what? If you own nothing, you can lose nothing. If Jesus owns you, you can't lose anything. It may look like you're losing, like the Apostle Paul getting whipped. 5 times he got the 39 lashes. 3 times he was caned. Spent a night and day in the deep, whatever. He's doing what God told him to do. And he got through all of that. Because he had the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. Not according to his feelings. Not according to what people said about him. Not according to what the Jews said about him. Not according to anything else. According as it is written. It is written. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. And God did it over and over and over and over. He was stoned and thrown in the dung heap dead. That's when he went to the third heaven and God showed him things he can't even communicate in earthly language. You can't do it. Confidence. It says, therefore, do not, Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. King James says patience. Patience means endurance, doesn't it? And then faithfulness. See, this is what stewardship is all about, faithfulness. And it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. None of these have anything to do with prosperity. But here's the thing. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, they asked why they couldn't do something. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Then Mark 11, 23 and 24. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you what? Desire. When praying, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And if you pray for what you desire and you believe you receive it when you pray, aren't you going to say it? Here's a spiritual law. You can have what you say. That is spiritual law. Jesus said so. Now, I want to point something out here. Kenneth Hagin one day was meditating on this scripture, and the Lord pointed out to him one time. He said, have you ever noticed that it's that Mark 11, 23 refers to saying 3 times and believing once? He said, no, I never noticed that before. And so he looked at it, and he says, yeah. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, whatsoever things he says will come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. 3 times it says, you know, if you keep saying the word of God, even though you have questions in your mind, doubt and unbelief in your mind, you can actually school yourself into faith by saying what God says. That's how powerful the word of God is. That's how filled with life and power and faith the word of God is, that you can actually school your mind and renew your mind into faith. Start turning your words around concerning your finances. Don't look and don't say you're broke. Can you imagine? Adam, who told you you were naked? You have a covenant with God for prosperity. Look, who told you were broke? Oh, do you believe that or do you believe my word? Now, I'm not saying go write bad checks. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that your checkbook has no right to tell you what your future is. God has declared your future, and you determine it with your faith. These are points that you really got to think through. These are the great questions of life that you've got to think through if you're going to be successful in your faith. And by the way, do you want to just play religion, or do you want to have living, vibrant, powerful faith that you know you can go to the Father and know He's hearing you, and know you can make a request, be made known to God, and have Him answer them? I don't want to play church. I don't want to play religion anymore. I want a living, vibrant, walking, living faith. And if something happens to Lori like it did, 20 years ago, 24 years ago, that we can come and have the answer and agree that God's will be done, and she's alive and well here.
Amen.
When Diane got sick, about 6 months ago, 7 months ago or something like that, she was on death's door. We were speaking words of God, words of faith, words of healing over her. When her daughter was head on with a semi and they had to airlift her, and we got a call, we hit the ground and we started declaring the word of God over her. She was healed in pretty much record time for somebody who shouldn't walk again. This will prosper your health. It'll prosper your money. It'll prosper your relationships. It'll prosper your marriage, your family. It'll prosper everything that you put your hand to in life. These principles apply. And no matter how far up, what level of faith you ever these foundational truths will always stand sure and sure. Believe it and speak it. In your heart, believe it. Say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. It's God's word. It doesn't matter who's speaking it. It will come to pass. God's word. And you will be, without even thinking about money, you will be more wealthy than you can handle. Now, I want to give you some scriptures here concerning promises about overcoming, and I'm going to close with this. Did you get anything out of this so far?
Yes.
This is faith that overcomes. Faith is not overcome. Faith overcomes everything. Faith is the victory that overcomes the entire world. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Figure out ways. Say, Lord, show me how to do good for somebody and turn an enemy here into a friend.
Amen.
We see here that faith is aggressive.
Yes.
Faith isn't aggressive. It's aggressive against evil.
Yes.
It's aggressive against sin. It's aggressive against the power, is together with the power of God. Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You can eat from the tree of life. Revelation 2:11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, everybody here has ears on the side of your head. He's not talking about that. He's talking about hearing. He's talking about hearing with your heart. In other words, when these words are established in your heart, they become your reality. That's what that means. Revelation 2:11, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. This will put some fuel in your overcoming tank. Revelation 2:17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. You know, he's got his own stock. He wants to share with you. This is good. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. If you overcome, he's going to put a white stone in your hand with a name on it that nobody knows except him and you. You know, one day a prophecy came to me concerning Marilyn that God had a name for her that he will give her in heaven. And but that's the same with all of us, too. And overcoming is a powerful thing. It's a dear thing to God. Revelation 2:26, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. You know, he said that in the Old Testament. He said, ask of me and I will give you the nations. Lord, I ask you to give me this nation right now. Yes. Give it back to the church. Yes. Lord, we repent for whatever, for our doing our own ways, looking at things our own ways, and not seeking your ways. We repent of that. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness on this nation. Turn us back towards you. Give us a give us a leader. Give us someone who can endure the slings and arrows, who can endure the pressures of the office, the pressures of this world. Lord, not those who have their own agenda. But Lord, we want those who want to honor life, who want to honor you, who want to honor Israel, who want to honor the things that you hold precious. What do you want? Lord, that's what we want. Give us this nation. Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You know, we confess the name of Jesus before the throne. We have no, have you ever thought? He confesses your name before the Father. He does that. And here, I mean, this is an eternal blessing right here. Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out. You know, Charles Capps was one of the pillars. He was one of the generals in God's army. Kenneth Hagin, one of generals in God's army. John Osteen, one of God's generals in the army. Oral Roberts, one of God's generals. Man, we are coasting down trails that Oral Roberts with blood and sweat, the times that they got beat up in other nations that had no laws against this stuff. He got bloodied and beaten. You should read his book. I have it in my office, Oral Roberts, is My Life and Ministry. I got through the first 10 pages of that and said, where am I at? This man was just an incredible man. And he was an easy mark for the media. They don't care what they say. Made him look stupid for doing what God told him to do. Maybe you look stupid too. People probably saw you turning in here. So they're going to think you're crazy anyways. So you might as well be. I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. If you're in that presence, you don't want to go out. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. You know, we see shades of this. When Saul of Tarsus got knocked to the ground and Jesus appeared to him, he says, why are you persecuting me? Saul could have said, no, I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting these Christians over here. Jesus said, no, that's me. He doesn't know the difference between you and himself. He takes personal injury against you personally. He cannot deny his own. Revelation 3:21, look at this. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Daddy. Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes shall inherit what? All things. And I will be his God and he shall be my son. Look, we want to, faith is faith that overcomes. God doesn't know any defeat. People say, well, what do you mean? I mean, Jesus was crucified. Yeah, but look at him now. You may be going through some hard times, but be consistent. Paul said, I've learned to be content no matter what situation I am, because I know I'm coming out good. Abraham, He told Lot, you go that way, I'll go this way. You go this way, I'll go that way. Let there be no strife between us. A guy who has a covenant with God, who knows his future is secure, will always give the choice to somebody else. He had a covenant with God, and it didn't matter where he went. He knew God was going to bless him wherever he went. This is the attitude you got to come up with every single day. Amen? Amen. That God is on your side. He's carving a way. He's waiting for you to choose. He's waiting for you to say what you desire in your heart. Not the problem. Don't start speaking the problem. Speak the desired result. When you see darkness, say light. Be.
Hallelujah.
That's right from the beginning. We get that right from day one. Hallelujah. Father, thanks for your word. We ask your blessing on each one here. Lord, who has ears to hear, let them keep this. Say this. Say this out loud. I keep this word.
I keep this word.
I treasure your word.
I treasure your word.
Above my opinions.
Above my attitudes.
Above my attitudes.
Above my attitudes.
Above the tough times.
Above the tough times.
Your word is sure.
Your word is sure.
And it will guide me to where you want me. I hold on to your word. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen.